Senator, you've supported federal money for repairs to the 610 connector in Providence. There's a hot debate playing out now about whether that should be a boulevard or a hybrid concept. What do you say to those who believe that a boulevard without a highway would offer more public benefits?
I think you would have to assess, and the state will have to assess, whether that's true. Certainly for people who use 6 and 10 to commute, something like 50,000 vehicles a day, to turn that into a slow-moving, regular municipal boulevard would probably be pretty much of a nuisance. So I don't know whether the legislature would accept that. I'm going along with what the state has decided, which is the 610 proposal that was filed by the Department of Transportation. If the state and the city want to negotiate further changes, there's some room for that. But my job is to make sure that there's a place for them to apply for federal funding for this project, which I accomplished in the highway bill, and now to advocate for that project to actually win the competition and get some federal money. Exactly which roads go where, I think, is properly left to the Director of Transportation, the governor, and the mayor to sort out.
The Attorney General of the U.S. Virgin Islands is subpoenaing communications regarding climate change from a group called the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Does this show that advocacy is being criminalized for people or groups that question climate change?
I don't think it does. There is an argument that is being brooded about that is what is going on here. But I suspect that all of these attorneys general are modeling their investigative pursuit on the tobacco case, which the United States Department of Justice brought and won back under the Clinton and Bush administrations. That was not a criminal prosecution. It was a civil lawsuit. In preparation for a civil lawsuit, it is not unusual to do some discovery. Courts have the ability to quash if they think the subpoena isn't fair. But I think the Virgin Islands Attorney General, and I think there are perhaps as many as 17 attorneys general, who are all looking at this question of whether the behavior of the fossil fuel industry about climate change is sufficiently similar to the behavior of the tobacco industry about the health effects of smoking, that a civil lawsuit to straighten out any fraudulent behavior is merited. Presuming the tobacco case is the model, the end point is a civil lawsuit, has nothing to do with criminal prosecution, and it's limited only to people who would have engaged in a fraud, which is a pretty high standard. It's not enough just to be a skeptic about climate. You actually have to be knowingly engaged in fraud.
Like other members of Verdun's Democratic establishment, you're firmly behind Hillary Clinton. What's your explanation for this kind of Clinton fatigue we've seen that has helped fuel support for Bernie Sanders?
You know, Bernie's a new voice, and I think people are looking for new voices. Second, as you look at this race and you look at who is attacking whom, you see the Republican attack machinery 100% focused on Hillary Clinton. There's an element, I think, of trying to pick your opponent going on the Republican side, and they have a very big and powerful piece of machinery to take on Democrats. Bernie's the candidate they want.
If Hillary Clinton is indeed the Democratic nominee, are you concerned that Bernie Sanders supporters will stay home in November?
First of all, you know, I really like Bernie. I think that he truly believes in the things that he's saying. And if you want to take the things that you're saying and you're Bernie Sanders and your choice is help Hillary Clinton get elected or help Ted Cruz or Donald Trump get elected, that is not even a close call. I don't think Bernie's the kind of person, from a personality point of view, who is a pick up your marbles and go home if you don't win kind of a guy. I don't see that as being a problem. I think he'll help to make sure that Democrats win and that his values are reflected in that.
Donald Trump has tapped into the economic anxiety of Americans. What's the answer for how we see shrinking percentage of Americans making up the middle class?
What we're seeing on both sides, from Bernie and from Donald Trump, is a message that the existing machinery seems rigged to benefit special interests and people who already have it made. From my perch in Washington, I do not dispute that. That's a point that I argue myself all the time. I think that what's going to happen now is that message has been so clear in this electorate that when we come back, whoever the new president is, I think there'll be a much stronger move towards economic fairness. When Donald Trump, who's right now the leading Republican candidate, is saying that it's time to throw out the carried interest exception that lets hedge fund billionaires pay lower tax rates than firefighters and truck drivers, that's a big step for the Republican Party. It has always defended that carried interest exception. I think that we're going to see a lot more of these special interest loopholes under a lot more pressure after this election.
You told me a few months ago you thought Paul Ryan would ultimately be the Republican nominee. Do you still believe that to be true?
I think it's been interesting. Nobody had that thought at the time, but now we're starting to hear a lot of talk. You know, how could he not be interested? He has to say no at this stage. I think a Trump candidacy or a Cruz candidacy would be pretty devastating. Just among my Republican colleagues, they are not looking forward to either candidacy.
Do you think Ryan's going to be the nominee?
I don't know. Kasich is a possibility. I think Ryan's got a good shot as anybody right now, and I think he's got a better shot in November than Trump or Cruz do. He'd be a worthy adversary.
We've all been alarmed by the ISIS attacks in Europe and an ISIS-inspired attack in San Bernardino, California.
Yep.
Certainly taking on an asymmetrical opponent in a free society is very difficult. How much worse do you think it's going to get before it gets better?
I think it's going to be a long haul. And I think there are going to be intervals when terrible things happen and we have to regather ourselves as a nation and continue. I do think that in the long run, the almost medieval violence and cruelty of ISIS is a strike against them. They're really turning off people right around them in the Arab world. And we're beginning to, I think, gain pretty significant ground in terms of inflicting casualties, not only on ISIS members generally, but on their leadership and on cutting off their funds. It's hard when you're dealing with a popular insurgency in some ways that is embedded in a civilian population. I don't think carpet bombing cities in which ISIS exists but are filled with civilians is really an option. But persistence is, and I would say, frankly, I think we probably need to up our game a little bit. And it's one of the reasons I think Hillary would be a really good president. I think she'll be more aggressive in dealing with ISIS.
Up in Burrillville, there's a hot debate over a proposed natural gas-fired plant. It's been reported that you're not taking a position on that, pro or con. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Some people might say you are known so much for your crusading on climate change. That's been a signature issue for you. How could you spend so much time and political capital on climate change while not taking a stance on another environmental issue here in Rhode Island?
Well, first, because it's not an issue that I control or influence. My time is best spent trying to make sure that the Senate and Congress turn a corner and begin to address this environmental concern in a responsible way. A siting decision is an administrative decision. It's surrounded by safeguards to protect it from political influence. There's a hearing record and there are records of decision that are made. And interference by legislators into that process is often not appropriate. It's really just a question of where you focus your fire. I think my work is best focused and most effectively focused on trying to make sure that we get a proper carbon price nationally and that we stop really misbehaving in Congress as a result of fossil fuel money.
Opiate addiction is a big issue here in Rhode Island and many other states. You've authored a bill to try to help curb that. Many people become hooked on opiates after having a genuine need for a prescription drug. So how would your legislation counteract that?
The fundamental piece is that we need to prescribe more effectively. We need to manage people when they become addicted more effectively. And we need to try to keep this separate from a very expensive law enforcement system into which people often get spilled, really because they're addicts, not because they're criminals.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thank you for joining us, Senator Sheldon Whitehouse.
Thank you, Ian. A pleasure to be with you.